Welcome back to Racecast, everyone. You might have noticed we were away last week and we said absolutely nothing about it, and that is because sometimes it is better to run away from your problems. No real excuse other than the fact we genuinely just didn't have time that we could both do it together. I think
it's more my fault.
It was more your fault, but I wasn't going to throw you under the bus.
That's right. No, I take it.
But
work, you know, and like you said, work pays the bills.
Yeah, so there's no point not going to work to come and do this because this doesn't pay the bills. But I was going to say it makes us happy. In the current state of F1, it probably doesn't, but...
We're getting better, though. We're getting happier.
Here's the thing, though. Are we?
Yeah.
Are we? Because
I think we are.
We had Imola this week, which I think was potentially the most boring race of the season up until the last 6-7 laps. But we didn't get what we wanted. We didn't have closer racing. We didn't have overtakes. More or less, nothing happened in the rest of the pack. It was pretty abysmal, to be honest with you.
I agree. Up until probably the last 10 laps, it got a bit interesting. And
but I still think, I think he was actually just doing us a favour. And he was like, shall I just...
We'll get on to it in a minute, but... I know Lando won in Miami, and we're all happy. You know, people are happy about that. Great.
He wouldn't have won if there wasn't a safety car. I know what Max says, but I'm talking from like that doesn't negate his win, right? That it doesn't take anything away from his win. It does take away from the point that I'm making of, well, we wouldn't have had a race.
Yeah.
We would have just had Max winning without that safety car.
Yeah. It,
and even with Lando getting in front with the safety car, we still didn't have a race. Do you know what I'm saying?
I get your point. Just fast forward into Imola at the weekend. I know we'll get onto it in a minute and we've kind of bypassed practice and qualifying, all of that stuff. But I was a bit disappointed because Lando should have won that race. And what I mean by that is he was closing in on Max very nicely. However, and we've touched on this many times, Lando is his own failure in a sense. There were certain parts of those final few laps where he was going too wide, he was pushing too much, he was slightly, you know, you saw a bit of understeer, which cost him a few seconds. Not a few seconds, but a few tenths.
A few seconds.
A few tenths.
There is also this thing, though, that I feel like these cars are actually quite hard to follow now. I feel like the desired effect of the ground effect era has actually not come to fruition, and the cars are quite hard to follow. You see that? Look at K-Mag in Quali, for example.
Yeah.
When Piastri, you know, unintentionally blocked him off, but he did block him, got the grid penalty.
Yeah.
It obviously affected K-Mag, but you could see how he then had that snap. And I think we see a lot of that whenever these cars get close to each other. And I know that's always been a thing of F1 because, you know, you can't change the air, right?
But do you think that snap was Lando pushing too hard?
I think it was probably a Lando wasn't necessarily going any quicker than he was the laps when he was further back and catching up. Do you know what I mean?
I get
he
that.
He was keeping up that consistent, fast pace. And I know what you're saying, like the desperation creeps in as you're getting closer, but I still think there's fundamentally such a big problem with these cars. Tell me the last time we saw a proper good head-to-head battle in these cars. And you can say Miami, but I don't know.
I don't think we've had a proper... this actual era since 22.
Yeah.
I think you could go back to Singapore where you had the good, you know, battle.
But we didn't.
No, but okay. But what I'm saying...
we had a DRS train at the front.
That's what I was going to say. You had closer racing at the front,
but
it was DRS.
It was a DRS train. And do you know what I'm absolutely sick of? Like, I'm so sick of people saying, like, wow, quali was close. Yeah, that's literally been, like, a running theme for a while now. The race is always the same story. Like, close quali is incredible. Only if that carries over into the race.
Yeah.
We don't live for Saturdays. Okay, granted, this weekend coming to Monaco, we do. But it just... It's like people forget every week. They're like, oh my God, like top 10 are within like 2/10 of each other. This race is going to be exciting. No, it's not, because it's going to pan out the exact same way that it does every single week. People said that about this quali. This quali was extremely close, especially those right at the front.
Yeah.
How did that pan out for you? It was awful, and it was.
So, before we get into that, should we quickly touch on a bit of news that came out today ahead of the Monaco Grand Prix?
Yeah.
McLaren will be running a vibrant one-off Ayrton Senna-inspired yellow, green and blue full wrap livery at this weekend's Monaco Grand Prix. And I've seen the photo. I kind of like it.
I think it's okay.
It's not like a wow factor, but I actually think it looks relatively nice. I think they could have probably done better.
I think they missed a trick. I think they should have... Is it an Ayrton Senna tribute? It's the Brazilian colours.
Yeah, it's to... So the livery takes inspiration from Senna's iconic helmet and is designed to celebrate the Brazilian's incredible racing legacy. Obviously, for people who don't know, he raced for McLaren. He is McLaren's most successful driver, racing for the British operation since 1988 to 1993.
He's McLaren's most successful driver.
Well, he's a three-time world champion with them.
He's not the most successful driver to have ever driven for McLaren.
Okay.
Do you get my point?
We're Lewis fans, yeah. But he secured, I suppose when you're looking at this, he secured 35 of his 41 Grand Prix wins with McLaren.
Yeah, incredible.
Which is mad.
Why would they not do the car in red and white?
Why?
That is more of a tribute to him, though.
It is, but I think when you think of Senna, you think of his helmet. Obviously, Gasly did a tribute this weekend.
I get the yellow helmet thing.
Yeah,
completely get it. The car to me looks more like a Brazilian tribute. I know he's Brazilian. I just think they missed a trick. They could have. What better way to honor him than having the car replicate the one that he drove? And then you can stick the boys in yellow helmets if you want. I mean, Lando basically wears a yellow helmet anyway.
Yeah.
A little bit fluorescent, but...
Going off topic here, big time, and I don't know if you've seen this, well, actually, you probably won't have seen this because we've been on the podcast, and this isn't F1 related, but Pochettino is leaving Chelsea.
Yeah, I mean, I have seen that because I have Twitter.
Oh, it literally just said 9 minutes ago. It got released.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. That's why I was saying if you hadn't known. Anyway, moving on.
Look at him coming here with football talk. We don't do that around here, buddy.
No. I mean, looking at it, I think it's all right.
It's not bad, and it's a nice gesture.
It is a very nice gesture.
I just think they missed a trick. They could have just made the car look incredibly cool with a red and white car.
And they got his logo on the front as well. The iconic, you know, the...
Yeah, no, yes. No, like it's cool. We like seeing different liveries because they're fresh on the eyes. We like them for no other reason other than the fact they're different.
Yeah.
I still don't understand why Williams didn't just like, not Williams, why McLaren didn't just stick with that golf livery that they had.
Well, the blue one.
That was fucking sick.
I liked it, yeah.
Nothing will compare to that livery, I don't think.
No, I did like that. So Sergio Perez has opened up about his Formula One future and revealed the latest on his contract negotiations.
Does he have a future?
Well, this is what we don't know.
Because I saw some shit going around on Twitter today to do with Carlos Sainz's future.
Yep.
And it's that he doesn't really know what to do at the moment. He's been offered a one-year... this is all rumours. There's a one-year deal on the table from Mercedes. 1 year. The idea is that presumably they want to bring Kimi Antonelli in.
Yeah.
After that. He has only got the offer on the table from Audi.
Yep.
Which is great, but it's a risk. It also means he's probably got to go to Sauber next season,
yeah,
which is a huge step back. You know, probably quite hard to... You've got to take a slice of humble pie with that if you're going from Ferrari to that god-awful Sauber.
And you've got to write off a season.
Yeah, have to fully write off a season when you're arguably in your prime,
yeah,
driving amazingly. And part of his problem is the fact that it looks like, according to rumours, that Sergio Perez is going to remain at Red Bull next year.
Which is mental, because this is kind of what this touches on. Obviously, Sergio Perez has a contract is out of contract for 2025, so it runs up until the end of this year. But he has said that still nothing has been signed, so everything is still open, but I believe very soon. We're getting into a very tense part of the season, and I want to get it out of the way because I think it's an important. It's important that I focus on racing side, so I hope sooner or later everything can be finalised. And I mean, I'll be perfectly honest with you. If you're a Red Bull at the moment and you're starting to see McLaren come with a bit more oomph this year, and a bit more...
Don't forget, Ferrari always there.
Yep. But what we're starting to see, McLaren at the moment are the real ones who are challenging Red Bull, and they have done over the last two races. So it kind of goes back to the 21 season where you've got two drivers, you know, Perez backed up Verstappen, and he supported Verstappen.
You mean Lewis?
Perez helped.
Perez backed up Verstappen.
No, what I mean, he supported Verstappen. He did everything he needed for it to be a second driver. Yeah. The reason why Bottas lost his seat is because he didn't do that. We're now in a position where we're coming into, you know, where McLaren are looking stronger.
With two very good drivers.
Perez is not backing up Verstappen, and he's not supporting Verstappen up the top, because that showed exactly this weekend. Max is at the front. Perez is qualifying P11. The discrepancy there is ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's completely unacceptable. And then you could think...
Sorry, I know that probably did confuse a few people. Sorry, in my head it was starting to make sense.
But... aside from the fact that Perez has had some, like, really bad qualies over the last year or two.
Wasn't it last year he had like...
Last year he had a like really, 12 really bad 12
in a row
run.
Where he didn't even get into Q3, did he?
But it was the fact that when you come to the race, he was actually just unable to overtake anyone. Like... Max, and I stand by this every time I say it, when we have a situation like this, Max would have come through and he would have won that race.
Or he would have been P1, P2.
Yeah, now that we've got the McLaren there, it's a bit hard to say. But, you know, prior to that, Max would have come through and won the race. Sergio Perez, there's no excuse for him not being able to pass both Mercedes. The car's awful.
He was fighting Haas at one point.
Do you know what I mean? It's tragic. And then he ran himself off the road. And... you know, it's quite sad to see that such a good seat is occupied by such a, I wouldn't call him incompetent, because that's out of order.
Average driver.
Yeah, such an average driver when, you know, you've got someone like Sainz, who is at the moment sidelined for next season. You've got Alex Albon, who's just had to sign a long-term deal with Williams. You know, Alex Albon, I know he's been at Red Bull before, but he's better than Williams at this point in his career. You can even look at someone like Nico Hülkenberg.
No, the person you need to look at, if you're not going to go for those because you're worried about them challenging Max, someone like Tsunoda.
Yeah, Yuki Tsunoda having a great
season.
He's
part of that Red Bull team. He's having a phenomenal season. He's proven exactly why he deserves his seat.
And the reason I find it strange is that Red Bull, firstly, have never been adverse to sacking people.
Mid-season,
yeah. You know, they're just gone.
Kvyat, Albon...
I mean, you can even look at Nick De Vries, you know, Gasly.
Yeah.
They're not afraid to just kick people out. And what's even weirder is they've also never been afraid to take risks on promoting young drivers. You know, we can go back to some of those names that we just said, Albon, Gasly, even... bringing Liam Lawson in to replace Danny Ric for that period of time. But Max Verstappen, he was an incredibly young driver to go to Red Bull.
Seb?
No, and this is Danny Ric. Mm. This is what I mean, that Sergio Perez so does not fit the ethos of that team. And I would completely understand it if he was backing it up with performances. Mm. But it's like, he's shit. And he doesn't fit the glove. It's just a bit like, what dirt has he got on the boys there?
Yeah,
because he must have something on them. How has he not gone? I swear to God, if he was at any other team, he would be gone.
Yeah,
and that's so weird, because normally you say that about, oh, if they're at Red Bull, they would have got rid of him ages ago.
Yeah, I think Red Bull have got to be careful. Kind of touching on the point I made earlier. McLaren are starting to come through the pack and they're becoming real challengers to Red Bull. This is the most they've been challenged probably since the early part of 2022 with Ferrari.
Yeah.
If you were Red Bull going into the 25 season, okay, Max, 9 times out of 10, will get you those P1s, P2s. He'll be consistent. But if you've got Piastri and Norris, who are picking up those P1s, 2s, 3s, week in, week out, from a constructor's point of view, they will start getting you more points. Because and Perez won't be getting those.
Because Perez is not even like picking up a P4.
No, he's picking up a P6, 7, 8, 9.
And that's when, you know, you can get P1 and P4 because you'll outscore P2 and P3. But it's the fact you can't even rely on Perez to get P4.
If they sign him, I agree with you, he must have something on the team because he does not fit that Red Bull seat. You've got drivers out there who, and like you say, Carlos Sainz must be thinking to myself, how am I being sidelined over Perez? Like, you've got to be sitting there and going, is this a joke?
And
like,
Sainz has a history with the team.
Yeah.
You know, he's been a teammate of Max before. And you know what? I do also look at it from the perspective of, okay, well, maybe they don't want to bring someone in who could challenge Max. You know, Max is in a league of his own, but I think there would be races where if you put him up against someone like Sainz, some tracks Sainz would pip him. And I think Max would win 85% of the time.
But surely if you're Max Verstappen, this is what you want. You want to...
Yeah, but I don't think this has anything to do with Max. I think this is them looking at from a team management perspective.
Yeah.
I think it's more from a, okay, well, we know Max is capable of winning a world championship. We know he's the fastest driver on the grid at this point in time. Mm. So what's the point in bringing someone in to ruffle feathers, right? But what they do need is they need someone consistent who's going to come in and regularly score those P2s, P3s, getting podiums week in, week out. And Perez just isn't that guy.
The worrying, if you are Red Bull, the worrying thing for you is if you didn't have Max Verstappen, you'd be going backwards very, very quickly.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know,
they're starting to show their cracks, and it's starting off the track, obviously losing Nui, having all this drama off there. You're now starting the last two races where McLaren are starting to come through, showing their class, being consistent, getting those results. If you're a Red Bull, I'm not saying it's panic mode, but you must be thinking, okay, shit, what is actually happening here? Because you could find by 2025, you're starting to go P2. Like you may not be getting those, you know, race wins and being as dominant.
And the thing is we always looked at the law of diminishing returns in the fact that their car was not going to keep exponentially getting better.
No.
There is a ceiling. And even if you constantly creep up, it's like rather than, oh, this upgrade package has brought half a second, all of a sudden now it's brought, oh, this one's brought like 0.06.
Yeah.
And, you know, it does all make a difference, but then there are teams that are still able to actually mine these bigger time gains from their car. So they do need to start thinking about playing the team game. I get it. The World Drivers' Championship is, you know, that is the one.
Yeah.
And I think, but from the team perspective, they're going to want that Constructors. Mm. You know, it gets them a bigger prize pot. It gets them at the front of that pit lane. You know, it gives them that status of we're the best team. And it's all well and good having the individual accolade of, you know, we've got the world championship driver. But it, you know, it's a team sport at the end of the day.
For the first time in a long time, Red Bull will win the Constructors. Max Verstappen will win a title this year because he's ahead there at the moment. He'll pick those P1s, P2s throughout this year. However, next year, for the first time, and this is quite weird saying it because I never thought I would say it for a long time, I'm actually pretty confident that if McLaren keep on the way they're going, we might have a battle on our hands next year.
Yeah, and I don't think you can ever write out Ferrari. Write off Ferrari.
No, and obviously with Lewis going there next year.
Particularly if they get Adrian Newey as well.
I think potentially, and it's annoying, isn't it? Because it's like the final year of any regulations, we have a good season And then we go into a new regulation, and then we're like, what's going on?
Yeah, then we'll come through and Williams will dominate for... Do you know what I mean?
And I know you can argue the 2021 season we should never have had anyway, but because obviously those regulations, 2022 regulations should have been in there, 2021. But
yeah, and thank God they were.
Oh, God, can you imagine? We'd be dealing
with... on another pandemic in 2025 if we're going to have a good season. We'll
dealing with COVID and dealing with that shit season. God, that would have been depressing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would have been.
So let's quickly... Oh, this weekend, I know we briefly touched on Antonelli earlier. F2, for the first time in a long time, I actually watched the F2 feature race on Saturday. It was relatively quite a good race. Mm-hmm. Behrmann obviously did FP1 testing. Then he did that. He finished like P4 or something like that. And then he was absolutely woeful on Sunday. Like, he was like P16. I didn't realise he's only got 6 points this year. This is a guy who's about to get an F1 seat and he's got 6 points in F2.
And this is what I say, when we see people driving, when he comes in and he drives a Ferrari and everyone's like, oh my God, what a drive. It's like, no, he's a professional race car driver driving what at the time was the second quickest car on the grid. And he came sixth, which, great, that's good for him. Nice work. But you still came sixth in the second quickest car.
I actually think he has more points in F1 than he does in F2.
How many points do you get for six? Maybe he's level with himself. But and this, I always say, like, why does that mean he deserves a seat? But, you know, if he's not...
You actually get 8 points for six. So he has more points in F1 than he actually does in F2.
You know, he needs to prove himself in F2... before you can even get a sniffing at a seat in F1. And that was kind of always the way before. And I just think, well, just because you had a good run in a fucking Ferrari.
Yeah,
obviously you scored points in your first Formula One races. You know, it's not like he was driving a Haas or the Sauber. If he got sixth in that, I'd be like, fucking hell, and he was first in F2.
Yeah.
I'd be like, yeah, we've got some serious fucking guy on our hand.
Antonelli did well, P4 on Sunday.
Yeah.
Wasn't too bad. Obviously, they're in the same team.
They are in the same team.
So, yeah, it was actually quite a good race. It wasn't too bad. I mean, the Sunday race wasn't as great. Not much happened. Saturday's race was pretty good.
I watched the Sunday race. Yeah. Obviously, that tyre popped off.
Yeah, in the pit. Yeah, that was mental, wasn't it?
Because that was kind of a... There was a safety car and a lot of people stayed out and then it all changed like towards the end when they had to come in.
The Saturday was pretty good because there was a incident on the first straight. One of the drivers went onto the gravel, came off, spun around, took out four different cars. Like,
nice. Did a George Russell.
He did a George Russell. Valtteri Bottas as well.
Well, yeah, but George took out Valtteri.
Yeah,
true. I wasn't going to blame Bottas for that.
No, I'm talking about Bottas at Hungary when he was
the skills.
Yeah. Legend for that day. He'll always go down as a legend. But anyway, let's get on to... We won't touch on practice because...
I didn't watch it.
I get fed up each week where Red Bull have a crap practice. Everyone then starts going, oh, guys, this is bad. Like, he was going off on track. He was really bad. Oh, he's gone. This is it. This is McLaren's weekend. And all of a sudden he comes to qualifying. He puts in a stonking lap. And then you're like, well, they've just been sandbagging.
And at this point, I don't think we should expect any less from Max Verstappen. He could finish P20 in all three practice sessions, and I'd still expect him to qualify first.
I did put this in the group the other day. For him to win that race, granted he's in a Red Bull and all that stuff, but he managed that very well at the end. And he was consistent. And this is what I mean. I can understand what you can say about, you know, driving behind different cars and stuff. But he managed that with the pressure of Lando Norris behind him. He managed that well. He kept his laps. He kept the distance. He just showed what a class act he is.
Yeah, I mean, Max doesn't crack under pressure. No. Until he's up against Lewis. And then he absolutely crumbles. Well, he does. Like, we even saw that in practice.
Yeah.
Like, no one makes him lose his head like Lewis. I don't know what he's got against him.
Talking about Lewis, Perez. Right. I can't remember who it was. I think he was fighting George. George went past him nice and easy. But for a lap and a bit, Perez was battling Lewis Hamilton like it was 2021.
Yeah,
I don't know why. Why when it is Lewis, you got people who actually like, then they start fighting.
People, you know, they want to prove themselves against the best. And so that's what they do when Lewis Hamilton comes up.
Yeah. Q1. So Alonso had a terrible weekend. Absolutely terrible weekend.
He had a rotten weekend.
Yeah. So he...
I love to see it, by the way.
Slightly happy, yeah. So he ended up going out in Q1. Sargeant, Magnussen, Joel and Bottas. Can I stand by exactly what I said about Magnussen. He needs to leave that team. He surely can't be in that seat next year, because you've got Hülkenberg in Q1. He was like P3 or something. Okay. Absolutely flew that car into Q2. Then you've got Magnussen, who couldn't even get into Q2 in the same car.
Yeah, but... No, that's a little bit unfair.
What are you going to say about the Piastri thing?
Well, yeah, he couldn't set a lap.
Well, I mean, he had 15 minutes, 16 minutes to set a lap.
No, I know, but you know how qualifying works.
I know how qualifying works, but...
No, I get your point, and I would agree with you 100% if he hadn't been blocked.
Well, he still did a lap, and actually, he was...
Yeah, but was it... You're looking at his earlier lap.
No, I'm looking at... Yeah, well, yeah, okay, I'm looking at his overlap. Anyway, I still think he's woeful. Q2 saw Gasly, Albon, Stroll, Ocon and Perez go out in Q2. Perez, again, once again, showing his masterclass in Q2.
That he sucks.
Yeah. And Q3, I saw Hülkenberg, Ricciardo and Tsunoda. Tsunoda had a very solid weekend. And to be fair, Ricciardo getting into Q3 was a solid weekend.
Yeah.
Obviously deserves that Red Bull seat now because he got into Q3. Russell loves Pippin Hamilton, doesn't he, in qualifying?
I mean, look, George has always been Mr. Saturday.
Yeah.
And Lewis is like Mr. Not Saturday. Yeah. I don't know what you call it, but we said this last season. His qualifying has to improve. Like, at times, it's like, and this is going to be quite harsh, it's borderline embarrassing for a driver of his ability... An ability that he hasn't lost, because you see, in the race, he's a different beast.
Yeah.
But it's not good enough.
And being an 8-time world champion, you got to be better.
You really do. And if you're going to Ferrari, and they're going to go in a world championship battle, I'm sorry, but your Saturdays have to improve.
No, I agree with you. Verstappen obviously ended up getting pole with a 1:14.7. Piastri did a 1:14.8, solid lap for him, and also a Norris was a 1:14.8 as well.
Yeah, and obviously Max only got that P1 because he got a lovely toe from Hülkenberg down the straight, which gave him the extra time.
You take what you get. You play it well. Both Ferraris were, well, they were actually fourth and fifth, but due to Piastri's penalty, they end up being third and fourth. In qualifying, I did.
The Ferraris?
Yeah.
Yeah, got you.
So, going to the race. Race was a relatively... I mean, Max just... This is what I don't understand, okay? So, that starts... And correct me if I'm wrong here. Good start by Max. Lando was a bit laggy getting off the line.
Well, he got off quicker than his sort of... Phase two. He couldn't really find
traction. Going into turn one, the issue is he was too busy fighting Leclerc that he got himself in a bit of a difficult position going into turn one, which then allowed Max just to fly off, really.
Yeah.
Because his placement was a bit all over the place. He got a bit unhinged within the first corner, which then... He was battling Leclerc too much that actually just lost a lot of time.
I don't understand how Max is always able to find a second in the first lap.
Mr. Consistent, isn't he?
No, but it's like he doesn't have that beyond that.
Yeah.
But within the first lap, he's always able to find that second, so you can't get DRS on him.
Yeah.
Like, have they got something like engine mode or something?
I'm wondering if he uses quite a lot of as in the first couple of laps.
If someone knows and can explain how the hell he finds a second. Because if he could find a second every lap, he'd fuck off, like, up the road. Like.
But I am wondering if he uses a lot of battery in the first lap or so to give him that push.
Well, because there's got to be something.
because he's allowing himself to, his tyres to get warmed up, he's getting in the groove, his knees, he doesn't have to use as many there. So
it just annoys me, because we brought in this new DRS rule, and it's not even affecting the man at the front.
Yeah. So skipping forward, I mean, I'll be honest, up, like you say, up until 10 laps before, it was a pretty boring race.
Oh, it was dull. Like, I genuinely was trying to keep my eyes open.
Albon had a bit of a shocker. He had a bit of a weekend to forget. When you're looking at standout drivers, obviously Verstappen did well, Norris did well, Piastri was a P4. I was expecting him to be closer to Leclerc, actually. I was quite disappointed that he didn't challenge the Ferrari, considering how quick Norris was.
Yeah.
So I expected a bit better. That Sainz was P5. Hamilton and Russell, let's quickly touch on this, because obviously it was a one-stop race. Hamilton was on the hards. George came in a bit earlier than Hamilton, who was on the hards. They decided to pit him a bit earlier. They decided to pit him again, put him onto mediums. This meant that actually Lewis ended up finishing ahead of Russell.
Which, might I just add, obviously that it was because George had apparently cooked his tyres and they weren't going to make it to the end. Lewis was rapidly closing in on George.
Yeah, because at one point, up until he was initially 9 seconds, 10 seconds behind.
Yeah.
Got it down to, last time I checked before the pit, it was like
3.5 or something. Yeah.
Obviously, Russell then came out and on over the radio and said, are you going to swap us back then? Basically, you know, am I going to get that place back? They didn't do it.
Obviously, because Lewis was like 20-something seconds up the road.
Yeah, which I agree. Afterwards, Toto was asked about it, and he was basically said, you know, Lewis would have got him anyway. It wouldn't have made a difference.
Yeah.
It's
completely fair. Like,
but I don't.
He got brought in because he had cooked his tyres. That's due to his tyre management.
Yeah.
Right? And you're really going to swap places for 6th and 7th?
I mean,
who gives a fuck, man? Like, focus on getting a better car. If that was 1st and 2nd, what chances are they wouldn't have brought you in anyway? You would have just had to fight out till the end. But yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
6th and... Come on.
But Perez P8, 54 seconds behind his teammate, yeah, which is bad. Stroll P9, he had a quite solid weekend, to be fair. Although, I'm a bit worried for Aston Martin, because they brought a bunch of upgrades this weekend and they still looked very poor.
Yeah, it's nothing satisfies me more than thinking back to 2022 Bahrain and seeing Alonso's smug face. And then also rewinding to, was it Canada?
22 Bahrain, what do you mean?
23, sorry.
I was going to say, yeah.
It's Canada, where he said, this is the last time you'll see us in this position.
He finished P19.
I don't think he's been on a podium since.
Yeah. Tsunoda, again, picking up points. He's been very consistent now. I'm really impressed with Tsunoda.
Yeah, Tsunoda's having a really good season.
Yeah. Hulkenson.
He's new.
No, I saw Hulkenson and Magnussen.
Hulkenberg,
P11. Magnussen, P12. Ricciardo, P13. Mm-hmm. Again, another awful weekend for the Alpines, P14 and P16.
Yeah, although Gasly showed quite good pace in quali. They've got problems at that team, but I do think they are pushing in the right direction.
Yeah,
it started off really bad for them.
I think they'll be okay, but I think you won't really see that until probably the second half of the season.
Yeah.
Shall we talk about Monaco? Or just wrapping up on Imola, it was an alright race.
It was.
McLaren looked good.
It was a fucking terrible race.
I still believe that if Lando had played it a bit cooler, if he hadn't pushed too hard,
I think he needed more laps. I think he needed more laps.
I think he needed cleaner laps. The laps you were doing, because I was watching where he was going in certain corners. You can see that he was just a bit of an understeer, a bit of like just pushing too hard in certain corners. Whereas I think if he kept it a bit cooler, if the roles were reversed, Max would have definitely caught Lando. If you had the same laps.
But I think Max is a quicker driver.
Granted. But I'm not just saying that because he would have been in Red Bull. But if roles are reversed situation, I think...
Yeah, but I think Max is genuinely a better driver.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. Yeah. Okay.
But overall, terrible race. Not watching Imola ever again.
Until next year.
Yeah, until next year.
Monaco Grand Prix.
I'm not watching it. Really? No, I actually will, and I'll tell you why. Because I'll go back to my point that I made earlier.
You watch it for Saturday.
Yeah, everyone talking about quali. Qualifying has been fantastic.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It has been, and I genuinely think there is a chance here that Max won't get P1 in quali. I think the Ferraris have consistently shown pace here.
Yeah.
Charles Leclerc, in his career, has been consistently quick here.
Will he get his first win?
He's been consistently unlucky here. And I just think because we now are so close with the McLarens and the Red Bulls,
yeah,
throw the Ferraris in the mix because you're not going to write them off.
No.
We're not putting Mercedes in there.
I'm done with Mercedes this year.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just tedious now.
I'm a Ferrari fan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I actually think it could be. I think it could be exciting.
Do you know the schedule time?
Yeah, yeah, go for it.
So Friday, FP1, 12:30 to 1:30.
Mm-hmm.
FP2 on Friday is 4 till 5. FP3 on Saturday is 11:30 to 12:30. Qualifying is 3 till 4.
Mm-hmm.
And the race is 2 p.m.
Lovely.
I mean,
I'm actually out. I'm at my grandma's.
Are you?
Yeah, having a party.
Well. Ocon has come out, says Ocon hopes Monaco podium of last year is the first of many for Alpine, and he's committed to work improving over next year.
Last year?
Obviously, last year's podium, they can recreate this year and do better.
Well, he's fucking deluded,
yep,
isn't he?
He is indeed. DRS zones, how many are there?
Two.
One.
No way.
Huh?
Well, it's the pit straight, not a DRS zone.
That is it. That's the only one.
I thought there was one through the tunnel.
Nope.
Crazy.
Mm. Oh, I was about to do a thing then. When was the first Grand Prix held?
Oh, I think I did see that one. Was it 1950?
Yeah, well done. Number of laps?
It's 78.
Yeah.
But that I actually knew anyway.
Lap record and held by who?
Yeah, this I don't know. This I really don't know because... Could it actually be one of the smaller cars from, like, back in the day?
No, I'll give you a clue. It's 2021.
Well, Max Verstappen.
Lewis Hamilton.
Really?
Yep.
In 21?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yep. And lap time?
God, I'm trying to recall. Maybe, like, a...
127.3.
112.9. 112.
Yeah.
It's as quick as that.
Top three for this weekend, Monaco Grand Prix.
I am going to go Max. I'm actually going to go Max, Charles and Lando.
Nice.
Because I think Charles is good round here.
Yeah.
For the first time in a long time, I'm not 100% sure that Max is going to be P1.
Yeah.
But I think I'd be silly to put my money anywhere else.
Yeah.
And Lando with these new Red Bull upgrades. Yeah. Red Bull? McLaren upgrades. I think you can't write them off.
I'm going to go bold here. And I'll probably get smoked for this. Lando P1. Max P2. Piastri P3. Charles 4th.
Yeah. Well, Piastri could, you know... Piastri could definitely be there.
I think, better in qualifying at the moment than race pace, if that makes sense.
Yeah, which you need around here.
Yeah. So
I'm anticipating Lewis to be like P17.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what, it's like it's a 21 season when he was P7 or something, wasn't he? P8.
Yeah.
Yeah, this Mercedes is going to be absolutely woeful around this. But don't worry, everyone. It's okay because...
They understand what's wrong with the car.
Toto Wolff will understand what's wrong with the car and they will make it better.
They're just doing some experiments.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, absolutely fine. But is that the end of the podcast?
That is. You might be wondering, wow, that's short. Yep, it's because Matt was late to my house and I have to race at 8 o'clock.
just touching on, because obviously for you guys who don't know, I've done 2 5Ks in the last week.
Nice.
You've been relatively impressed with my times. Not bad times for someone who doesn't run.
Yeah, not bad.
I take it. So not as quick as you. I've seen some of your timings and I'm thinking to myself, shit.
Well, it takes time. I wasn't that quick at first.
Weren't you?
No, I had to work up to it.
Amateur. But I was
quicker than you at first.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
yeah.
27 minutes, I'm quite happy with.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad to just start off and do that.
Yeah. So I hope you have a good week. We'll be back next week for a brand new episode.
A full-length episode
previewing or reviewing the Monaco Grand Prix. Let's hope for a good race.
Let's hope for good quality.
Yeah. Let's hope it doesn't rain because they'll red flag it.
Oh, let's hope it rains enough so they don't red flag it.
Yeah.
But no, enough so it's interesting, but not too much so they'll red flag it.
Yeah, exactly. Is anyone online yet?
Yeah, they're all online. Oh. But look, they can't. They're 4/10 off my time, so.
Well, have a good week, everyone. And we shall see you next week for a brand new episode. Bye-bye.